So I'm just going to give a short short talk to give us a topic. But again, when the share goes around, you can speak on what anything you want to share about. So don't feel limited to this topic. I just find it helpful to give a sort of topic also because I like talking about the Dharma. But also sometimes it just helps to get people to talk. So one of these sort of key concepts in Buddhist spiritual practice, as in so many other current psychological practices, the idea of reacting versus responding in life. It's helpful that English has a number of different words in this case so that we can delineate. Pali, the language that the Buddha spoke in, had very few words, so he used the same word for many different concepts, and it can be confusing when you study the Buddha's teachings in Pali. But thankfully in English we have the words react and respond, and they delineate two different ways of interacting with the world, with life, with other people. So, briefly, reacting. Reacting is an immediate knee-jerk reply to something that's said or some event. It's immediate. There's virtually no, often there's very little space between what somebody says and how we give our reply. It's habitual, and by which I mean there's very little creativity to it. It's almost always presented, our reaction is almost invariably what we're going to say or what we're going to do is almost immediately jumps to mind. So there's no cognitive, oh, let me see how creative I can be in this situation. It's the first thing that jumps to mind. So it's immediate. We've done it before, it's ingrained, it's hardwired, as neuroscience says, neurons that fire together wire together. It's often our reactions are behaviors that are hardwired into our minds during childhood. Often fight or flight, freeze, you get the idea. Generally, reactions are always aimed to the short term. What can I do to get rid of this discomfort or this situation as quickly as I possibly can? How can I get out of here? How can I get this person to shut up? How can I change? How can I just get this thing to stop? It's a sort of damn the long-term consequences. What can I do right now that's going to get the results I want? I put some notes down. Oh yeah. Reactions are almost invariably brought on by underlying emotional states. There's an emotional drive to them. If we examine what happens when we're being very reactive, there's almost invariably a part of the body that gets very, very stressed out and tight. And part of the drive of being reactive is that the body is so uncomfortable that we want to expel something. We really want to tell somebody off or get out of or do something. And so it's because there's this underlying physical discomfort. And very often there is this underlying mental claustrophobia. When we're really upset or really in craving, the mind feels much smaller. It's not aware of everything that's going on. It's become, as what the Buddha called, tamayata. The mind is shrunk just down to this thing that's either irritating us or this thing that we really want. In this sense, being reactive is, it's interesting because the Buddha didn't really draw a delineation between the states of craving, really, really wanting something, and aversion, really, really wanting to get rid of something, or delusion, being really self-centered. The Buddha referred to these defilements as dukkha. They're stress. Kriya, they're mental agitation. And it's interesting because when we think about it, maybe we get that. But most of us still probably secretly think that, well, I sort of like people who are more driven and craving than I like people who are negative or deeply self-centered. Maybe in our own minds we feel a little bit that being in craving, really wanting something, is a little more benign or safe than really, really disliking something or really, really caught up in self-centeredness. But the Buddha really said they're all suffering. And when we examine what's going on beneath the fog of all the thoughts in our minds and see what's happening in the body, see what's happening in the mind, if we could look at the neurobiology and see the release of dopamine and cortisol and adrenaline, the states would all look the same. There really wouldn't be this big, clear difference at all between them. They're all agitation. And basically when we're in craving, we're saying there's something wrong right now that means I can't get peace. The same way when we're in aversion or hating someone, we're saying there's something going on right now that means I can't be peaceful. So really when we cut beyond the fog of the words that are going on in our mind and all the thoughts, the ideations, and see what's happening beneath or behind the curtains, really, craving, self-centeredness, and aversion are all forms of suffering. So what's the opposite? What is atamayata when the mind is relaxed, when there's not agitation, when there's a sense of release? Piti, P-I-T-I, or in Pali. Well, the first thing is that when we respond to life, the replies don't come automatically. There's a pause, what Tara Brach, a Buddhist teacher, calls this spiritual pause. This ability to, somebody is snapping or saying something or something's put in front of us that we really want, and before we feel the need to say or do anything, there's this pause, this permission that we give ourselves not to immediately do anything. And then, on top of it, there's creativity. Whereas, when we're reacting, we're only aware of one thing that we want to do. When we're responding, we are choosing between alternative replies. If I'm responding to something you say, it's because I've got more than one way of answering in my mind, and I've chosen between those two or more answers. If only one answer is in my mind, that's not really meaning that I'm weighing, pausing, being creative, responding. Even though the right answer might become obvious or might seem obvious, if I'm not at least weighing two different alternatives, it means I'm in autopilot. It means I don't really have free will, because if there's no choice, there's no free will. It's only where I have a choice between at least two ways to respond that I am in any way, shape, or form exerting free will in my life. So if I want to be responding as opposed to reacting, I at least have to know what's an alternative way to reply to this situation. And also, finally, what the Buddha really talked about over and over again throughout the Pali Canon was making sure that we are relaxed, physically relaxed, that the mind is not just shrunk around the problem, but that the mind is spacious and aware of other things so that we're not just hyper-fixated on what's going on. This is why people say pause and breathe, because when you breathe, you're bringing your awareness to something other than the argument or the situation. You're bringing your awareness to the body, you're making the mind larger. And when we breathe, we pay attention to if we're hyperventilating or if the breath is really comfortable, and we're finding something else to give balance to whatever is going on. We become aware of other priorities. And finally, of course, responding means that we're willing to do things that don't pay off in the short term, but actually pay off in the long term. There are times in the discourses with the Buddha where somebody would come and ask, there's a guy who came to the Buddha, Washagota, and said to the Buddha, where did the earth come from? And the Buddha, it's interesting, the Buddha didn't say anything. There's just dot, dot, dot. I don't know of any other teacher, famous teacher, where there's just an ellipsis. And then the guy says, no, I really want to know, where did the universe come from? Where is it going? Dot, dot, dot. And he asks all these other questions. The Buddha doesn't reply. And a lot of people got upset. And especially the Washagota, who's a very important man, storms off. And basically, when this happens, the Buddha's attendant, Ananda, after the guy storms off, says, well, that didn't go too well. You didn't answer any of his questions. And the Buddha said, because they were dumb. They're not questions that are going to help that person end his suffering. They're not at all germane to the what I'm teaching. I'm not talking about where the universe came from. It has nothing to do with, you know, talking about what I teach, which is how to end stress and suffering. That's the only thing the Buddha taught. So if you read which I have, you don't have to. I've read through them. They're sort of boring and long, the suttas. But I mean, if you read through them, the Buddha often would reply in different ways than we would expect somebody to reply when people ask him questions. Sometimes he would say, you know, I have no opinion. Sometimes he would just pause and then eventually say, you know, that's not germane to what I'm teaching. Sometimes he wouldn't reply at all. Sometimes he would say, not a valid question. I've found, personally, I if somebody's in a really angry, agitated space, I'll pause, look at them, and I'll try to do what the Thais do. If you ever meet a Thai person, when you say something really stupid, they smile at you. You have that sort of almost pitying smile. And then you just say, I'll be willing to reply if you're not going to interrupt me. Sort of bring that to the table. But I wanted to talk very briefly, and then we'll go on to the shares. So what are some of the strategies to moving in our lives from being reactive in situations? And being reactive, of course, generally has bad results. Not all the time, but often it does. Often when we're physically stressed out, there's only one choice we have. When we're really driven, when the mind is not giving us alternatives, when we're just thinking of the shortest term solution, we do things that we regret. And when we respond, when we get to choose, when we pause, when we relax the body, when we're in a state of non-agitation, in my experience, I rarely do stupid, idiotic things. So it's clearly preferable to move from being reactive to responsive, but it's easier said than done, right? Sometimes there are people that just push our buttons. Generally, they're called parents or people we're in relationships with or friends or roommates, co-workers. They have different names and comes in different forms. But how do we move to a place with those people that really push our buttons? Well, there's a couple of different techniques. Before we go into the interaction, if we know that this person pushes our buttons, is it possible to practice what the Buddha called metta bhavana, which is think thoughts of goodwill for them. Change the mind from this defensive, oh my God, this is going to suck so bad, I can't stand this person, or every time I talk to this person it's a pain in the ass. If we can at least get the mind to a place of may they find peace within. Now, we're not rewarding them for being a schmuck. When we wish them to find peace within, we're acknowledging that they don't have peace, maybe. and we want them to find it. But it also reminds us that, like us and like other beings, they're just suffering, and that's why they're acting unskillfully. There's nothing inherently evil, probably, about them. It's just that they're suffering, and that's why things can go so averse. So I've found that practicing metta with somebody that I've had issues with helps. Another technique I use quite often, especially in work situations, is making sure that I'm as comfortable as possible, especially finding those areas that get contracted and tense when I'm in a reactive state. In my case, it's my stomach and my shoulders. My stomach gets really tight and my shoulders start creeping up towards my ears. So when I'm in a conversation where I'm beginning to feel reactive, where I'm feeling that heat, like I need to jump in, I need to have my two cents thrown in, I really make sure that I check those two areas, my shoulders and my stomach, and make sure that they're as relaxed as possible. The Buddha talked also about practicing with safe people, doing different approaches to life that are more skillful. Sometimes if we're going into a difficult conversation, it's good to find somebody who's spiritual and have them play at or prepare us with somebody that we feel safe with, and just experiment with different ways we can reply or respond rather than react. The Buddha often talked about this as why he encourages monks to spend time together, so that they could explore how to behave interpersonally, so that when they went out into the world and taught, they'd have different ways of interacting with people. That's why it's so important to have wise spiritual friends in our lives. People who are in 12-step programs know how invaluable it is to practice being fearless, being calm, being wise in conversations, how important it is to practice it first with safe people. That's hopefully what we do here together. So those are some techniques. See if I had anything else. So I think rather than throw out more ideas, what I'd like to do now is go to shares around the room. Again, if you want to talk on this subject, I'm interested in hearing what areas in life do you feel really reactive, and what spiritual tools have you done or tried to use to make yourself be more calm or more effective in these situations that push your buttons. But if you don't like the topic, or if you just want to talk about something else, feel free to do that as well. So I'm going to